Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, parents, families, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. This edition features the Politics Rap Team from James S. Rickards High School IB International Program. We're always welcome and glad to have them. They are a diverse group of students with positions and political affiliations and perspectives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me via the Zoom platform, I will start with Amok, who is our student producer, if you will introduce yourself, and from there we will go down the list. So, Amok.
Hey guys, I'm Amok Acharya. I'm in 11th grade, and as Dr. Hollyfield said, I am the student producer for the 411 Teen Club at Rickards. And yeah, I'm excited to start today.
I'm always glad to have you. Kaylee, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Kaylee John, and I'm a freshman at Rickards High School. And I think we said we would say hobbies. I think I've been doing crocheting for the longest.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Nishi?
Hi, my name is Nishi Annapreti, and this is my first time on 411 Teen. I'm really excited, and I'm a junior at Rickards High School.
Well, I'm glad to have you. Ruthvika?
Hi, my name is Ruthvika Virapreti. I'm also a junior at Rickards, and this is also my first time on 411, so I'm really excited.
Glad to have you. And last but not least, Shahara.
Hello, my name is Sahasra Akula, and I'm a freshman at Rickards as well. This is my second time being on 411 Teen, and it's been a really exciting experience so far. I like playing volleyball, reading, writing, and staying informed.
Okay, well, I am glad to have all of you. I guess we'll start with President Donald Trump. He began his reign of power with numerous executive orders and powers. My question to you is, how do you think he's doing? What grade would you give him? And I'll start with Amok, because I know he's comfortable and familiar with the routine.
To be honest, I'm not too sure yet. I did hear that he uses power to his advantage in appointing positions, and that is something that I don't agree with. But yeah, that's where I stand.
Okay. All right. We'll get back to you. And where do the rest of you sit? What do you think? I mean, from where you sit, what you do know, what you have read and heard, and how do you think he's doing? What grade would you give him and why? I mean, there's a number of issues, and we'll ask you what you see are the issues, but how do you think he's doing? Kaylee.
So I guess from where I am, like, mm-hmm. as a student, like, at school or on social media that I see it, a lot of people are talking about, like, how their identification in terms of sex or gender are being changed as of right now. And I don't know, I feel like that's very interesting as of how far we've come as America today versus how much we're, like, taking little baby steps backwards instead mm-hmm. of forward. But other than that, I don't think, yeah, I'm still watching.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there are a number of issues that you can consider. I mean, you brought up the transgender situation. I mean, there's also the gender-affirming care. There are the vaccines. There's immigration. There's DEI, you know. Would you like Canada? You think Canada should be the 51st state? Should we purchase Greenland, the Panama Canal? Just to name a few, okay? I'm sure there are plenty that I have left out, and I will ask you what you see as the issues. But right now, Nishi, where do you sit?
Focusing on the DEI aspect of it specifically, I think it's kind of interesting that he's like chosen to kind of resign the DEI policies. It's the fact that he's like decided to eliminate what he's like termed these woke policies, but I think it's kind of a bad idea spent especially dismantling these programs because it could like undermine the effort to promote like the source of this like sort of inclusivity that we've kind of worked towards for a really long time.
Okay, you raised some good issues there. We'll have to get back to them. Ritvika.
Well, I know Nishi and Kaylee already talks about like from their point of view, but from like the point of view of the world, you know how he like imposed tariffs and he like enacted the 25% tariff on the imports from Mexico and Canada and stuff, and like the 10% tariff on goods from China. Like this just goes to show like how detrimental he is to like businesses, to American businesses. It like this is increasing the costs for consumers, and like these companies, they have to like pass the cost of tariffs onto consumers, so this would obviously lead to higher prices for everyday goods. And like obviously many industries, they like depend on like imports for raw materials, and this also just like in the end, it risks trade wars and like more retaliation from like foreign countries and stuff.
And Shahasra?
About Donald Trump, there's been so many things that he's already done as he's signed at least more than 40 executive orders since he's been inaugurated. So, the first thing that he's like kind of done when he got into office was unban TikTok, which I feel like kind of attempted to put him in the spotlight as a superhero saving TikTok, but we've forgotten who introduced that in the first place. Because TikTok, well, he, as well as Congress and partially Joe Biden, introduced that in the first place. And after the unbanning of it, which since people, especially our generation, we are so connected to the app since it's such a platform for us to be able to express ourselves, and it supports millions of small creators across the nation, which is why I, as a citizen here who uses TikTok on a day-to-day basis, I believe that it was like it felt staged, kind of. It felt planned. And as another punch at culture that he made, of course, that was mentioned by other people on today, was like the way that he's declared that there's only two genders, two sexes, male and female. I also believe that this is taking our society backwards because, as I'm pretty sure Nishi mentioned before, that we've come to an age of inclusivity, but now people, of course, the transgender society, they have to take a step back into the shadows due to this, and it's not promoting inclusivity. As someone who knows people who identify as transgender, they definitely feel targeted. In regard to an executive order that he spoke about that involved the Paris Climate Treaty and efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and adapt to climate change. Since he took the United States out of the agreement, we are definitely going back in time and not being able to take climate change in the route that we're supposed to handle it in.
That's a good point. I mean, all of you have raised, excellent issues. Do you have other comments or further comments that you'd like to make on them? What about TikTok? I thought that was a good one that you brought up. What are you feeling? What do you think about TikTok? And that's to whoever, that wants to respond.
Yeah, I would say about TikTok, it's a great platform that has allowed so many people to freely express themselves. And of course, some people might think of it as an addiction, but it's genuinely supporting so many American people today.
Yeah, that's a good point also. Any other comments? I mean, another, yes.
So even though this might sound like a silly sort of reason to be using TikTok, but I feel like as someone that maybe in middle school sort of grew up having the time to watch the news in the morning, as a high schooler now going to school at 7 a.m. having to get ready at 6 a.m. I don't really have the luxury of being able to watch the news. So having these little moments on TikTok, as well as talking to my friends and sharing TikToks about the things that are happening in our world right now, has been a very important thing to me. I feel like I've learned a lot because of TikTok, and maybe because my content is curated towards the type of things that I'm interested in or my own political views. It might be sheltered in a sense, but I still think I've been exposed to a lot of new concepts and a lot of new things that are happening in the world that I wouldn't have been able to beforehand.
So what I hear you saying is that TikTok is valuable. It does serve a real advantage for you. Other comments?
Yeah, about TikTok again, I just feel like it's just been such a great community and platform for so many of a lot of Gen Z people across the United States, as well as a couple millennials and just people, all people of the United States.
So again, that's what I'm saying. I'm hearing you all saying that it's really beneficial, and to eliminate it would not be the way to go, correct? I mean, am I hearing you correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Other comments? You know
I
what?
think,
Yes, go
oh,
right ahead.
sorry.
No, go right ahead.
I think it's really important because it's not even that we're only getting information about our own country through TikTok. I think it's the fact that a lot of these creators on TikTok, some of them are getting like these stories from different countries, because even though their goal, like most of their goals, are probably to create their own content and to get a lot of viewers to see it and like it, I think that even if their motives are like that, it's the fact that they're producing these products and these videos that are like shorter, because I think a lot of the news these days, they're a lot longer and they try to go in depth. But it's the fact of the matter that a lot of people don't really find interest in reading these long articles or these long newspapers. And I think it's really just good for us as people and like students, because I think we don't really have the time, or I guess we don't really want to
Hold your
read.
thought. Hold your thoughts for a minute, and I'll get right back to you. We're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I had to interrupt you so you can finish your thoughts, please.
Yeah, so as I was saying, I think it's just so important and so impactful that we're getting insight from not only our country, but information about other countries, and that other countries are being able to spread information about our country to theirs.
Other thoughts?
I just want to say that I agree with like Kaylee and Nishi, because as like a student, obviously we have like short attention spans. I mean, we don't have much time, but I think that this might just be deteriorating like our attention spans. We're not able to pay attention to something for long enough that we can actually understand exactly what they're saying. I think it takes a way more than like it adds.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I think Rafika brings up a good point on how a lot of social media platforms, they're converting their content into short form content and steering away from more longer form content. Like we've seen the introduction of YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, Snapchat Spotlights. Like every single social media platform is switching to short form content. And I know this is a little off topic, but this is also kind of concerning for attention spans across like teens across America and the entire world. It's kind of concerning how we're seeing a lot of people nowadays not able to focus for extended periods of time. And I feel like this is an issue that needs to be addressed or at least regulated.
What do you think is contributing to that? Because that's a good point, that a lot of people are not able to attend for an extended period of time.
I feel like because it's so stimulating when the videos are in this short video format, I feel like even 1 minute TikToks, I feel like maybe do less successfully than 30 second TikToks, because most people nowadays, they just really want to get to the point. They want to consume a lot of content in the short amount possible. Maybe like a decade ago, even like 6, 7 years ago, YouTube was very popular, but as Musical.ly and TikTok and Instagram Reels have become more popular, it's easy to consume a lot of information in a very small amount of time. I feel like that kind of like diminishes people's ability to focus on tasks that require like a longer amount of attention. I feel like I've seen that in school. I've seen that for myself personally. Like if I'm doing my homework and I'm able to have other websites while I'm doing my homework, I feel like because I'm happier while watching this content, I tend to stray away from doing my work for a long amount of time, because sitting down and having to focus on one task, even though it's easier to tell myself in my head that it's pretty simple to multitask, it always happens and ends up being that I stray away and focus on the things that, like things like TikTok instead of my work.
Okay. Well, let me ask you something. In talking about these platforms, do you feel comfortable that everything that you are, all the information you're receiving is accurate? And the reason I ask that is I think, you know, the position now is that they aren't going to do any fact-checking. They'll leave that to you to do the fact-checking. If I remember correctly, that fact-checking is not going to be a high priority. And how do you feel about that? And that's to all of you. I'd like to, what do you think? Does that influence where you get your information, how you get your information?
Wait, really quick, can you elaborate on that? Like,
well,
what do you mean?
I mean, they are going to be doing fact checking, just that. You know how somebody will say something and they'll go, no, well, that's not true. We just read that in such and such a thing, that does not exist. They're not going to be doing fact checking. The fact checking is going to, they're going to leave the fact checking to the individuals to do it themselves, okay? As opposed to having the commentator coming in. I think Mark Zuckerberg announced that the social work Meta would end fact checking. Instead, they're going to rely on the user to add notes to the post. And this ends a long-standing policy instituted to curtail, you know, the spread of misinformation and disinformation. So that's what I'm referring to. And asking you all, what do you think? Is that going to influence you in any way as to where you get your information and the veracity of it? I mean, you know, there is a lot of misinformation out there and disinformation out across the app. So how does that influence you? Does that influence you? Does it impact you at all?
100%, I think so. I had two kids come over to kind of test a research experiment on me maybe like 2 months ago. And they were trying to figure out how many people in the world right now are able to distinguish real life images from AI images. And I was one of the people in the majority who actually was only able to detect two of the images being AI out of like maybe 15. And
really? Wow.
As much as that might sound like a crazy percentage, that's a pretty normal thing for a lot of people around this. It's really hard to distinguish like between factual news and misleading content. And the fact that so many words can be twisted to sound like facts if they're coming from people that seem to have high profiles and seem to know what they're talking about, but even then, how can we be so sure that what they're saying is true? And especially, I feel like when multiple articles come out at the same time and they're all from pretty big news outlets or pretty big content creators, we tend to believe it as people talk about it. And if there aren't people that are overseeing this and trying to check the system, then I think that it'll become a pretty negative thing.
Okay. Other comments on the fact checking? How will it impact you? What does it say? What message does it send?
Yeah, I definitely agree with the fact that this is like horrible because there's so many people who rely on social media to provide them with the news, to provide them with what happens every day. So that's why I don't understand why they took off that regulation in the first place. Now people this, as you stated earlier, the spread of misinformation is going to go to chaotic levels, I believe.
Yeah, and that in turn will impact a lot of people that get their information mainly, from these social media apps, okay? Other comments?
Yeah, and I think both Nishi and Saucer bring up really good points in my opinion, because I've seen those like AI animals like on TikTok, and they are really believable. And I think that if the comment sections didn't tell me, oh yeah, it's AI, and I didn't start like looking out for them, I wouldn't have noticed it. But it's also the fact that it's not even the creators, yes, they have to do their fact checking, but I feel like the comment sections themselves have made these like communities that have really strong opinions. And I think that just adds to the confusion because even if the creator is misinformed, if the comment section was like educated, I feel like they would have been able to like understand. But because the comment section is also misinformed by all of these other creators, it makes it so difficult for someone watching the video to be like, oh no, that's like wrong, you know, because there are so many people supporting it.
Amal, where do you sit? What do you think about this?
I mean, I want to bring up that if we are confused, people who grew up with social media and technology, think about the people who are not as tech savvy. If you look on Facebook, there's a lot of fake AI posts. And if you look at the comments, it's a bunch of, I would say, like older people who are actually believing these posts. And I think that is the most concerning part. Like, at least we have an idea of like, okay, this could be AI or it could not be, but we have some people who don't even know that AI exists and is able to generate these pictures. So I think that's the most concerning part.
Well, do you all have any secrets, any tricks of the trade as to how you determine it's AI?
I tend to look at the text as well as like people's body parts. So if there's like an AI generated person, they tend to have more or less fingers and like
Oh,
their
okay.
eyes might look weird. So you got to look at the tiny details, but again, if you look at it for a quick second, you might not be able to tell.
So you have to really hone into it and really pay attention as well.
Right,
Okay.
right.
Anyone else have any suggestions as to how people may be able to discern it's not what it appears to be?
I feel like really unnaturally vibrant colors or really neon colors, they tend to have these vibrant colors to like catch your attention and be like, oh, it's so pretty. But I feel like a lot of those tend to be more AI generated because it's not really naturally created colors.
Okay, any other comments? Well, let's go to the next issue that I wanted to get your feedback on. Florida will not participate with the 2025 Federal Summer Program, food program, Sunbucks. It's designed to work in tandem with other food-based benefits like SNAP, and SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or WIC, which is the Women, Infant, and Children's Program. This is the second year that Florida chose not to participate. In 2024, Florida was one in 13 states that turned down the federal aid to feed children. It has been estimated, oh, about, I think around 2.1 million children have benefit needs, and 3 million Floridians are facing food insecurity, according to Feeding America. Parents would have received $120 per eligible child in grocery assistance over the summer, because, you know, summer is that time when a lot of students, if they don't get breakfast or lunch at school, they may not have a meal coming in. And Sunbucks, that's the name of the program, has been proven to reduce and increase the consumption of grains and fruits and vegetables. Interesting, the Florida Deputy Chief of the Department of Children and Families said that the program always has some strings attached. And so families will have to rely on nonprofits and food banks during the summer. What does this say to you? How do you feel about what is happening and our decision to not participate? I mean, this is the second time. Where do you sit on that? I'll start with Kaylee.
I think it gives us, as students, a lot of insecurity. Even during the school months, we focus a lot on our academics, and there is so much to stress on. But there are individuals during the school year who can't just focus on that, and they have to go out to work to earn money so that they can buy food. And I think it's such a bigger issue during the summer because these kids are more at home, because these kids have these time periods where they would have originally at school, they would have eaten school lunch, mm-hmm. but then at home, it's the parents' responsibility to give their children food. And I think it's just such a burden on the family, and it says a lot about how much Florida is really thinking about the students that are growing up and that are going to eventually become these adults that are functioning.
Yeah, and how well do you function if you're hungry?
Right.
How well do you think? How well do you read? I mean, if you're really hungry, what impact is that going to have on that? Nishi, what do you think? Where do you sit? I'd like to hear from each one of you on this.
I feel like, especially knowing that Florida has one of the highest rates of food insecurity mm-hmm. among children, I feel like declining these funds, not even just decreasing them, completely getting rid of them, is, I don't know if this is harsh to say, but not the most responsible decision. I feel like it's super harmful for a part of our state that's super vulnerable, as these kids can't get school meals that are probably the biggest portion of nutrition that they get. And without this assistance in the summertime, these families are going to get this sort of really high increase in their grocery bills, and that's going to strain that family and their household financially. So it's really a decision between, like, okay, shelter and, like, food for a lot of people. And I know that having a decreased or, like, depletion of food or nutrition is kind of linked to, like, poor academic performance or, like, yes. longer-term health issues, as well as, like, I know delay in specific development. Like, I know for people who versus, like, people who eat meat and who are just vegetarian, they have delayed developments. Imagine a child who isn't able to eat at all, really, mm-hmm. versus a child who's healthy and able to go to school. So the fact that they're rejecting this funding, like, really increases this problem by a lot.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, what the state decides to do with this, like, allocated money, though, because if Florida doesn't have, like, some other
they don't accept it. They just don't accept the money.
Okay.
No, they don't accept it. That's it. They won't accept it. No. It's not like the money goes to every state. You have to sort of buy into the program, and it's sort of a joint program at the federal level and with the state. And the federal level, of course, assumes the lion's share. But what they're saying, Florida is saying, we're not doing it. We're not going to participate in this program.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty foolish of Florida to not participate within this summer food program, because as previously stated, there's 2.1 million children mm-hmm. who would benefit from this. So it just doesn't really make sense to me, due to the fact there's so many people, even people that we know from like our school, mm-hmm. people that we know who are in this financial situation, who genuinely need this. And it really reminds me of the time when, I'm pretty sure it was the Georgia House of Representatives member, Rich McCormick. He basically stated, I'm pretty sure Georgia is also one of the states that has withdrawn from the acceptance of money from Sunbucks. Mm-hmm. So he, one of their House of Representatives members, Rich McCormick, he had stated that he would rather children work, like, not necessarily children, but, like, just people work for their own money. And it draws back to the entire concept of us going back in time, because child labor was banned in America in 1938. And I feel like that whole concept of just not giving the people and not attending to the people's needs is foolish.
Well, hold your thoughts, because I think we need to explore this a little bit more. I think we'd like to look at, and I'm going to pose to you, we're going to go to a break, and then when we come back, but think about this. What role does politics play in all of this Sunbucks? We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and we are looking and talking with the politics rep members. We were just talking about Florida deciding not to participate in the summer food program called Sunbucks. My question I posed to you all before we move on is, you know, all of you have kind of expressed, you know, kind of dismay at what is going on. But do you feel that politics plays a role in this? What is determining, what role does politics play? Whomever wants to go first. Do you think that politics is influencing this? Because everybody seems to go, well, you know, we need it. We got 2.1 million children who can benefit from it in the summer. The majority of it, of the money and support, is coming from the federal, coming from the feds, federal level. Why would we be turning it down?
I think clearly politics is their priority, and they should be prioritizing students' education and their well-being. You know, students should not have to worry about being able to put food on the table. They should be worrying about education. It's the foundation to their careers, their futures, the future of Florida. So I feel like prioritizing politics in this situation is, and not investing into the future of Florida, is a bad decision overall.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that statement. Students definitely shouldn't have to worry about like their financial situation. And drawing back to what was stated about the fact that students, like, their education is the foundation of our future. Without that type of education, or without the voice of the people, or the voice of the people who need to stand up for their rights, like, I don't understand why we're pushing like politics when the politicians get their power from the people. So why are they not aiding to the needs of the people?
Well, you raise a good question. Kaylee, where do you sit? What do you think?
Yeah, so I completely agree with everybody. I feel like it's a real priority issue that you're considering politics over everything else. And I think it's, I'm sorry, but it's kind of the audacity that these people have to think that, oh, like this politics, like the fact that they really believe that in the state that people in poverty are in right now, it's really, it's astonishing that you can consider just denying these programs that would help so many different individuals to just be like, oh yeah, like there are more solutions, like you could work more. But if these, like when we go to college and for example, we get financial aid for people who like can't afford it, right?
Right.
But how are students who are brilliant, but they just don't have the money, how are they expected to get there? Because growing up till the age of like 18, being able to go to college at that age, it still requires so much education, like during our grade school years. And I feel like it's so inconsiderate, I think.
Okay. Other comments?
I mean, I want to bring up how the people and the politicians actually making these decisions, they haven't even experienced what it was like to be in poverty. Like,
good point.
They don't understand the struggle that a lot of Americans go through in putting food on the table, because they most likely grew up wealthy and with enough power and not being able to worry about these things.
They haven't walked in their shoes, is what you're saying. I hear you. And that indeed is a important component of some of the decisions that are made. Well, we will move on because there are plenty of issues today that we can talk about. 60% of teens in a recent research reported feeling loneliness, and 71% are potentially addicted to their devices, you know, laptops, mainly smartphones. My question to you, because this is really a serious problem, how do we encourage real world connections? How do we encourage bringing teens off of screens into meaningful social interactions? How do we combat, you know, this whole isolation? I know you hear it every place, this isolation and dependency that seem to dominate teens' lives. I mean, you can go in a restaurant and sit down and see two teens sitting together and they both are looking at their smartphones. You don't see much interaction at all. And that kind of feeds into this. I mean, they talk about being lonely, but they don't engage. What's going on?
Well, I think that this is definitely a big issue because there's no easy solution, definitely. But I just say, like, try to encourage people to go out more and have more, like, face-to-face communication, get them more interested in, like, extracurriculars, more programs. Like, that's literally the only thing we can do because, like, of the large amount, like, it's an insane amount of people that are so addicted to their phones.
Why do you think that's happening? I mean, what is it about these phones? Because you aren't interacting, you don't see the person, you don't, you know, feel the person, you don't touch the person. I mean, it's the phone. And maybe in some ways that's beneficial because you probably feel more comfortable doing or saying certain things if you aren't right there with the person. I don't know. You tell us. This is your program. You need to tell us what you think.
I think that at least that might actually be an advantage for a lot of people. I know a lot of people don't really feel invited in a lot of, like, social places, especially, like, places outside or even in school, people are kind of nervous or scared to talk to people that they've never really met before. I think even me personally, I got very lucky having this sort of tighter-knit group a bigger amount of people, about like 10 to 15 people within my own school. So that's how I was able to learn to have these social interactions. But I think especially during COVID time when we were isolated and I only really had two or three friends and I wasn't able to see them, opening up and talking to people online was definitely something that helped me a lot and something that I was more inclined to doing than going out and talking to new people, because I kind of really forgot how it felt to analyze people's body language or their actions and understand what they're doing. I feel like over text people can be more confident as they're not worried about the other person facing them or seeing them, and they're able to really speak their mind in a sense. And I still think that can be a negative thing, but it can be a positive thing where people can flourish because they're able to say things that they wouldn't normally be able to say or do things that they wouldn't normally be able to do.
Yeah, I think they find more of like a sense of belonging online.
Other comments, other thoughts?
I think it's also a contribution from like the school band and stuff, because it's like it's not really paid attention to until someone brings attention to it. And the attention bringing thing is that there are bands. Like when you sit in a classroom these days in Florida, you'll look around and there are so many students that they spend so much time and energy trying to figure out how to hide their phones during class. And I feel like it's just, they spend so much time on it. I don't understand. But I think it's also the fact that it's social interactions have become so difficult, but...
Let me stop you right there. And I appreciate what you're saying. But what is it that has changed and made it so difficult to have social interaction?
I think it's like body language, you know, to be able to see someone. I think a big thing was COVID because people were separated from other people for so long that they kind of forgot how to talk to people, how to make small talk. I think small talk is such a big thing these days because you have to be able to do it to understand more about the person, to become more comfortable with them. And a lot of people talk about how they don't feel comfortable talking to new people. And it's because they always, every time they still feel new because you don't get to know them any better.
Okay. All right.
I would like to say that using social media is like eating at McDonald's. So it's like, it's quick, it's easy, and it can give you that dopamine boost temporarily. However, you can't rely on it as your main source of social interaction, because that can be detrimental to your mental health. So I think it's about finding a balance, because obviously social media does have its benefits. It can help you feel more included and it can help you find a group of people who you're comfortable like interacting with, but that can't be your main source of social interaction.
Well, you know, in addition to this, I might as well throw this out here. Another thing we're seeing is we're seeing sort of a cycle of inactivity and isolation, with 20% of teens facing obesity. And 30% report increased gaming habits. Here we go back to this inactivity and isolation. How do we transform teens? Again, I'm asking you this, to spend their time. I mean, on the average, let me ask you this, and I know it really is an individual thing. How much do teens spend on screens daily? How much on the average? And what are they doing? I mean, is most of the time on schoolwork? Is it socializing? Is it gaming? What are they doing when they are on screen?
You go ahead.
You can go ahead.
No, that's okay. You can go ahead.
Okay.
We got time for both of you, so don't worry.
Well, personally, I just checked my screen time and it's 7 hours and 30 minutes. But I think that one of the main things people do is TikTok, as we talked about before, but that's because it's like a never ending, like it's just never ending, like doom scrolling. Like you only get off if you have like something else to do. So, and it also provides that like source of entertainment. So, I mean,
So what are you doing in those 7 hours?
oh, I mean, I don't spend it all on TikTok.
Oh,
I
okay.
obviously, I think it's spent on like mostly messages, TikTok,
Okay.
games, and then like Instagram.
So it's a
But like,
combination, is what you're saying there.
yeah.
Okay. Other thoughts?
I think definitely 7 hours, funnily enough, is might be on the lower end. I know some people within our school that, or at least within my own classes, that might have anywhere from 10 to 14 hours. I think especially as a junior, our workload is a lot, so that's a reason that we're on our computers or laptops or phones a lot more, as well as different social media sites. I feel like that's the main way to communicate lately, especially as someone who doesn't really have a car or the luxury to meet her friends all the time. The way I communicate with my friends is either by texting, calling, or FaceTiming them.
Okay.
That's one of the biggest reasons that we're on our devices a lot of times. Even with gaming, that's another way to connect with your friends. Really, our devices are a way for us to connect with the people around us. And yes, that isn't the most healthiest thing if you're spending 10 to 14 hours out of your 24 hours on your laptop. You would want to tell people to go outside more, meet some more people outside, but it's kind of a difficult thing to do, I will say.
Share with us where the difficulty lies.
I say for me, at least going outside would require, at least for me and my friends, it would require all of us to get permission from our parents. That requires a bit like a week of planning because all of us have to coordinate together a date where all of our parents are able to find a spot where they can drop all of us off together. Most of us don't live close to each other. Most of us aren't able to take that walk. Some of my friends live a 20-minute drive away. I feel like that's not even
Okay.
possible to think about walking to their house. Even a friend that maybe lives a 5-minute walk away from me, we both have to coordinate with our school schedules, our extracurricular schedules, our parents' schedules, and in our free time, even then, instead of maybe hanging out with your friends, what you're really thinking about doing is taking a nap that you haven't been able to take in a few weeks, having a time of rest that you haven't been able to take in a few weeks. So I definitely do think that is a difficult task to maybe go outside and see your friends. But I will say, even as a junior and as my hardest year in high school, I think me and my friends have gotten better at going outside compared to how we were maybe 8th grade when we came out of this COVID era. We've been able to find our local parks and communities a great space to hang out, maybe doing pickleballs on the weekends, tennis matches on the weekends, just walking, meeting each other's pets, just going outside and having fun.
So what I hear from you all, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, is that COVID really has had a big, because that always comes up, has had a big impact on your interaction with others. And even though we're kind of out of, we do still have COVID and the flu now, it's still a problem, but we're out of that manic COVID stage. We haven't gotten back into interacting. I mean, it's just like here at the studio. I used to have you all come in, and sit here at the round table, and everybody sit at a mic, and we all would be talking. Now I'm the only one here, and you all are on Zoom. Now I know it's more convenient for you to be on Zoom, because you don't have to worry about how you're going to get to the broadcast center and get back and all of that. But that's another thing. So that's what I'm hearing. And as I look at the clock, we're just about out of time. So we'll have to bring that up some more and look at it. But I would like to say thank you. I really appreciate you sharing your time and your thoughts, because it is time out for this edition of 411 Teen. And again, many thanks to the 411 Teen Politics Rap panelists and student producer. And to my listening audience, appreciation for your time and your ear. This is Dr. Liz Hollyfield inviting you to tune in next week, same time, same place. You get the 411 on 411 Teen. Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Evan Rossi. If you would like to participate in the 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Teen at wfsu.org.